attention! Pay attention! Stop! Pay attention!
I heartily endorse this event or product.
They can't. What time is it?
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
Starring Bob Lutz.
Don't get on my nerves again. I'm very prickly right now.
Really?
I'm prickly and I'm proud of it.
Really?
Jeff Lutz.
Just because you got proven wrong, you don't get to go double back. Shut up. What a show I've had.
Wow, that's something.
And Jason Duda, for today anyway.
I'm just curious. I'm curious to see what's going on. That's all.
You can be replaced, Chicky Baby.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Turn it on and rip the knob off.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Thursday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, Jason Duda in today, the three-man booth on a Thursday where the sun is shining. The temperatures are in the 40s, I believe. But it doesn't seem, what's with this snow and ice? It doesn't seem to want to melt. We've had the longest period of time in 30 years where we've had 2 inches of snow cover. I read that today on one of the TV websites.
Probably ours.
What's going on with it?
It's snowed and it's cold, so it doesn't melt.
But this is abnormal. Usually we get some warmer weather. We don't have cold stretches like this for this long.
It is the winter. It is winter, and it hasn't been that cold. It's been in the 20s and 30s. That's not that cold.
Hasn't been warm enough to melt anything.
Well, it's winter.
You like driving on these side streets?
Coming into your area is an absolute mess.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Just take your time. Go slow. It's easy. It's not that difficult.
Nothing bothers you. Why even bring it up?
I used to have to drive on this stuff for like 6 months out of the year.
You were in a plow. Nobody cared.
His occupation was on this stuff.
I wish I was in a plow. Take care of it right now. Done. See ya.
Bring a plow.
No.
That's my name. My name again is Mr. Plow.
Do we have a Jamal Holoperic today?
No, you told me you wanted her on Friday.
Good. Well, that's good because we have a stacked show today.
Thank you.
225 Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star. The Chiefs getting ready to play Houston. One of the games we'll pick coming up in hour number two. And at 245 today, new title, the promotion for our friend Sean Johnson. He's now one of the three assistant general managers for the Minnesota Twins. And he'll join us at 245 to talk about that.
But I don't like the Twins.
You like the Twins just fine.
I do?
Well, sure. Why? You go to the double-A games all the time.
See
those players.
That has nothing to do with my affinity or lack thereof for the Minnesota Twins.
Surely you get to where you have a little bit of affinity for some Twins.
Nope.
So you watch them every night, but you don't develop a, hey, that guy's pretty good. I like watching him.
That's correct. I go there to score games, be impartial, do my job, not get emotionally attached, and head on home.
What if it was the Cleveland Guardians double A team?
Oh, absolutely. Everyone gets hits. No errors. Everybody gets a hit. Roll on through. Your average is going to skyrocket.
You had to be impartial.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you mentioned that about a minute.
I don't think I said anything like that.
I'm sure you did.
Well, I would hope you'd be impartial regardless of who's playing.
If I got to be the official scorer for the Akron Rubber Ducks, I think that would be the thrill of a lifetime.
Well, you're never going to do that unless you move to Akron.
Doesn't seem likely.
Which, if you are, I'll help pack.
When's Akron coming to town?
They don't come to town. They're in a different league.
Why?
Because there's three
double-A leagues.
Why don't you get them in this league?
I'll see what I can do.
Write a letter.
Akron is in the Eastern League. Is that what it's still called?
Yes, sir.
You have the Eastern League, the Texas League, and the Southern League. Those are your three double-A leagues.
Interesting that one whole state gets a whole league, and the other two are just regions of the country. It's
kind of weird.
But I like it. The Texas League.
Why don't they just make one big league?
Because that's just not how it works for travel purposes
travel
and other things.
It's a nightmare. You got to watch out for those people. It's not the CHL that you played in.
That's right. We traveled everywhere, other countries, everything.
Right. They abuse the players, in that league.
Well, I can't argue with that.
What other countries did he travel to in the CHL?
Canada.
There's a CHL team in Canada?
Ontario.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
What was the name of it?
I don't remember. After that 22 hours on a bus,
didn't
we need
it
to
start
get
with
there
a
to
B?
Play.
Brampton.
Brampton. That's Brampton. ECHL.
Yeah, but they were in that CHL, too.
They were?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, there, I get my memory served.
Yeah, that's
me well.
Actually pretty good. Good job, Bob.
Brampton, Ontario. How many Canadian teams are in the ECHL now?
Well, there's one in Newfoundland. I know that. Just the two, maybe? I think there might just be two.
How many Canadian teams are in the no-show?
Five. Unless they've expanded.
They may have.
Because it's so popular right now, the way things are going.
Everybody wants to play in the no-show.
I could see them expanding.
I agree.
I'm impressed that I remembered Brampton, but then I was sitting here thinking that in my days at the newspaper, we were just immersed into local sports, so I paid attention to what was going on in the CHL.
Yeah, they're not in the CHL anymore, though.
Well, they used to be.
They used to be. The CHL
is not around. That was never my beat. I never had the beat of covering the Thunder.
You probably asked not to.
Well,
I did.
I would have been a duck out of water.
You would have been.
I had that beat. I thought I did reasonably okay.
You did pretty good. You did pretty good, I'll say that.
You did fine.
No, he did pretty good.
Yeah,
he didn't just do fine. He did pretty good.
Pretty good.
Who was better, the person before him?
Colin Long or Jeffrey Lutz? Who do you prefer?
Ooh.
It's tough.
Ooh. I was a player with Colin Long, so it was different.
Yeah.
Did he treat you fairly? Give you enough pub?
Yeah, I mean he was good. He was good. He was fine.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
You didn't spend a lot of time worrying about it.
No, not really.
Or lifting weights, as we learned yesterday.
No, yeah, that's why. No.
Who'd you have on the show yesterday?
Me.
We had on the Heston girls coach, we had on the comedian, and we had on Mike Furches. And we had on, yeah. What
Mike
the,
have to say?
Oh,
he was pretty quiet.
He was out of it yesterday. I don't know what was going on with Mike.
Well, he was lost because I wasn't on.
Mike had something going on. I don't know. Said he was tired, but it seemed like more than that.
My guess is that he doesn't care to come on with you two.
Well, he did come into the studio.
Did he?
Yeah.
Well,
he did at least want to hang out with us. I hope he's okay, too.
Here's where we are in picks. Duda continues to get his bonus game.
What was the easiest one on the slate?
Yeah, in hindsight, it probably was. I don't know what I was thinking.
Did anybody else get it right? Or
right now, I have a six-game lead over Max in the games pick.
Here this guy goes again.
I know.
The thing we've never talked about or discussed.
It doesn't mean anything,
it's
but
a great
yet
thing.
He's got to bring it up.
Max has been on a little bit of a hot streak, so he's moved into second place. Now in points, which, is a little bit less important.
Really?
Duda leads at 384. My goodness, he's 48 points up on me,
mm-hmm.
and 51 points up on you.
That hurts.
And you were laughing at all my picks last
week. Well, they sucked.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you only went 4-4.
Doesn't matter.
But you get your bonus pick.
I get the bonus pick and my other decent ones.
Max got the bonus pick. Jeff and I didn't get the bonus pick.
Stupid Vikings.
Losers.
If I get the bonus pick, I'm up there at 37 points.
Yeah, but you didn't.
But I didn't. And Jeff never gets a bonus pick right.
It's happened before.
Maybe you'll get it today. What is the bonus pick game?
You know that wall we were talking about yesterday?
Yeah, did you hit it?
Crashed.
Yeah.
Just crashed into it.
What happened?
I don't know.
Right now?
Yeah.
When that wall comes
down. You just
down.
Hit the wall right
now? Yeah, I did, but don't worry about it. I'll be fine.
What does that mean?
You just feel something leaving your body.
Tell me what you felt.
I just felt energy leaving my body.
Is it because of the conversation
you're
having?
No, nothing. We talked about this yesterday. There's no rhyme or reason for it. You never know if it's going to come. You never know when it's going to come.
And when it hits, boy, does it hit.
Oh, it hits.
You've had that happen to you?
Oh, lots.
Really?
Yeah.
Trying to think.
I assume everybody has.
Not me, man.
Really?
It hit me this morning. Got home, had a little bite to eat, and sat down. I thought I was watching TV.
Well, that's just being tired.
Boom.
No.
Woke up.
Something different than just being tired.
Yeah. Can't even keep your eyes open.
It's that's being tired.
Nah.
Yeah, but it doesn't hit you
Are you tired?
Hard.
Is this a...
No, I'm not tired. I just, you know...
I get tired.
You're indifferent?
No, it's not a feeling. It's just the energy's left my... Some energy's left my body. But I'm fine. Don't even worry about it.
Well, I'm not worried about
like
it.
Like, me at a 6 is like you at a 50. So, this shouldn't be a problem for us.
Why do you have to insult? Why? What caused that
I don't know
happen?
If that was an insult. I was just...
Oh, I've got a lot more energy than you. I'm much more
I'm talking about just entertainment value, participation on the show.
I'm more entertaining than you. No, that's what you're telling
me.
Well, let's ask a third part.
Oh, yeah, like he'll answer this. But maybe he will.
He may not. But you've been around this show a long time now.
You guys are coming to me for the answer.
And we appreciate what
you're
bring
the third party.
The show. I can't ask Misty.
He's trying to butter you up. Don't fall for that.
No, I'm not buttering anybody up. Entertainment value, who you got?
That's about even.
Really?
Yep.
Well, that's a typical answer.
Absolutely.
You were going to say that no matter what, weren't you?
Absolutely.
More likely to become a serial killer. Oh, that's about even. You probably both.
You never know.
You never quite know.
I can't see it happening with either one of you, so I'd have to go 50-50.
Do you have a game today?
No, it's Thursday, Jeff.
I know, but am I going to be here tomorrow?
Well, show up.
I don't know if I'm going to be here tomorrow.
Why not? What's the problem?
I don't know.
You
I don't know.
Do
I might have. I might not.
No, you're not. You're off tomorrow.
Yeah, but I might come, but I might not.
No, you're off tomorrow. I've already got you penciled out.
You can pencil me back in.
Thank you.
That's the beauty of a pencil.
That's right. You erase it and you put it back in.
We appreciate it. We're going to get through tomorrow without you.
Nah, we'll see.
Three-man booths are great.
Nah, I don't want one.
I love it.
Why?
I don't want one tomorrow.
Okay, well, then I'll stay home. I got stuff to do. Jeff can come in. There you go.
Whatever. Whatever you guys work out.
Nah, I don't want to do that.
Whatever you work out is fine with me.
All right, three-man.
No, not three-man. We're not doing that. Not tomorrow.
You just said whatever.
Yeah, I don't want
like, what's the issue? Like, I'm on the show. My name's on the show. I can show up.
You told me you wanted tomorrow off.
I said sure.
You said sure.
You, like, forced it. It was like a magic card trick.
No,
like
I said,
you just
do you want Friday
force...
off? Sure.
Sure, whatever. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
All right. That's... You said sure.
We'll see.
You're not coming in. The door will be locked. I don't want
Call
you
me.
Here tomorrow.
Why?
I got other things going on.
Like what?
What? Yeah, exactly.
I got a lot happening. Let's see. KU last night. Game you had to, I hope you watched. I'd give you about a 10% chance of watching it. But anytime.
Well, the kid was home. We hung out.
We did other stuff. Of course, the kid doesn't want to watch anything.
Well, we went out.
Where'd you go?
To the Y.
Well, that's fine, but we had a really, you know, an interesting...
Yeah, I didn't even know that game was being played. That's crazy, isn't it?
No, that's not crazy.
I mean, it's crazy.
That's typical you.
It's crazy for others. It's typical for me. Did you watch it?
No, we know Duda didn't.
I did watch a little bit
of it. You did?
Watched a little of the end of the second half and then a little bit in the start.
Well, there wasn't much to watch at the end of the game. It was a blowout by then.
Or end of the first half, bit and just a couple minutes.
There you go.
In the
there
second
you go.
Half.
That now, makes sense.
Then went to sleep.
Now we're getting somewhere. Anyway, I don't think I've ever seen a game with that many loose balls. That's what stood out to me. The ball was on the ground all the time. Both teams made efforts. I mean, it was not a lack of effort, but I've just never seen a ragged game like that. And the reason, Iowa State really defends. So does Kansas when they want to. But Kansas is a little bit reminiscent of so many teams in this transfer portal age. They just don't seem like they gel.
Doesn't seem like it.
It seems like they just throw a bunch of guys out there and they're trying to figure it out. And there's no real cohesion. Meanwhile, for the most part, Iowa State has cohesion and they went into the transfer portal. So I try to figure out why.
Well, sometimes.
Why does Iowa State have cohesion?
Well, maybe they did last night, but are they going to have it all the time?
They ranked third in the country.
Well, they're a good team.
They ranked second in the country.
Yeah, I mean, but they have that. They seem to have gelled.
Some groups of players, or whatever you want to say the word is. It just works. Like, you put two actors together. Some, maybe they have chemistry. Maybe they don't. You just have to mix and match. You have to find out. It's just kind of random.
Well, you don't have any time anymore now to find out what kind of chemistry you have.
Nope.
It's got to happen immediately.
That's what I'm saying. It either happens or it doesn't. That's why you guys believe in it. Because what? It's kind of one of those unspoken intangible
things. What
do we
believe
in? Chemistry, and we got to gel, and we got to have a locker room and a veteran presence.
I do believe in that stuff.
I know.
You don't?
I do to some degree.
So you just throw,
when you're talking
just
about,
throw some guys together.
When you're talking about a blend of players, sometimes, but it's not necessarily explainable. It's not. It might not have to do anything with chemistry or what goes on.
It absolutely has
it's
to do with
It's just how do these guys mix players?
You played many years with the Thunder. I would imagine there were some years where you felt the vibe in the locker room and even on the ice was much more, what's the word I'm trying to think for? I think much more conducive to having a good team than other years. Am I right?
Absolutely.
It's fairly odd. Anybody who's played on a team.
Yeah, yeah. Would it's know just that. Confirmation bias. Oh, we have a good team because we have good chemistry. We had a bad team because we didn't have good chemistry.
No.
Yeah.
You can have can have an average team but great chemistry.
Name one.
Well, I can't. I don't know if I can name one.
Because they don't stick out because it's confirmation bias and no one talks about them. And then you just come back and
chemistry and be a great team. The New York Yankees under Billy Martin, they were fighting all the time. To some degree, the Oakland A's. And you can have great chemistry and not have a good team. But it helps to have good chemistry.
I guess.
Especially,
unless we're going around disproving it, which you seem to be doing.
Especially at the college level with younger players. And right now, I don't see the chemistry with the Kansas Jayhawks.
Well, and them and a lot of other teams.
Right. But they're the most notable. They're the ones with the most basketball tradition.
Yeah, well, I agree. But that's what you're going to get. This is where you're at in college, especially in college basketball. You're going to bring a whole bunch of guys in and just hope things work out.
Right.
That's where we're at.
No, so I hear you.
You don't know who you're going to have.
When you bring in a transfer from Wisconsin who was a very good player there, you bring in other transfers. I can't think of all of them.
Ryland Griffin.
In my head. From Ryland Griffin from where did he come from?
Alabama.
Yeah, and then they got the kid that's now starting. But you bring in all these guys who have really good credentials from their former schools. And you try to mix them in with the three returning players they have, and it's just it's a real crapshoot.
I wonder what recruiting is like in the transfer portal versus a guy out of high school. I bet in high school you can say, we got this clear vision for you. Here's how we're going to use you. Here's how you fit into our scheme. In the transfer portal, it's probably just, we need somebody. And you were good last year with another school, so come and help us. It's probably way different.
Well, yeah, it is.
Well, yeah, of course it's different.
So because the other side of it is, well, we want this kid. And there's like 20 of them we want, but the top 12 have already went somewhere else. So then you're not even getting the top of the list.
You're just
getting whoever. And the reason why they've been on four different teams in 4 years in college is because there's probably a little bit of an issue there.
Something going on.
Maybe. So
you can't put a whole bunch of issues together and then think you made a paper.
No. Listen to this guy.
Oh, my God. That just came out of my mouth. I'm getting good at this.
What'd you say?
I don't know, but I'm done for this segment.
There you go. K-State, similar issues. They can't find the key. And they have one of the highest NIL payments in the country. And here they are scuffling around below 500.
Yeah, they gave a lot of their money to a guy that, you know, was okay at Illinois.
They gave a lot of their money to several guys.
But they gave a lot of money to Coleman Hawkins,
right,
who, even at Illinois, like, okay, is this guy really a star? Is he going to come in and change the makeup and the foundation of your team? Probably not. But
not good.
Gave him a lot of money.
Not good.
What does he care? He's got $2 million.
Between the Shockers, the Wildcats, and the Jayhawks. And listen, KU's still very good. They're going to get into the tournament. Who knows? But coming off the pretty mundane year they had last year, not great. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk with Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star, the Chiefs in their divisional playoff game coming up Saturday, late afternoon at Arrowhead Stadium against the Houston Texans. You can hear that game, of course, on our sister station, KNSS. Jesse Newell with us next.
You know, one of the best things about being an ex-big leaguer is getting freebies to the game. Call the front office, bingo. And once these fans recognize me, I probably won't even have to pay for my life here.
Down the track!
I love them. Good seats, huh?
You're in the wrong seat, buddy. Come on.
Oh, I must be in the front row. Come on.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Na, 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 na.
All right, we are back. It's Big is the musical theme. Songs with the word big in the titles. Big Girls Don't Cry from Fergie. Here's Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star, the Chiefs. Still in there, hunting for their third consecutive Super Bowl win, NFL title. They have the Houston Texans coming up Saturday afternoon at Arrowhead Stadium. Hello, Jesse. Welcome to the show.
Bob, is that Fergie? Is that you? Is that your preference? I figured you'd pick another Big Girls Don't Cry song, you know?
Yeah, you would think. I didn't do the music. Max, our producer,
you should claim. You should take credit for that. That's not a bad song.
I don't do the music. Okay. I used to, but I don't do that anymore. That
all right,
you guys
taken off my plate.
Pull out the old school "Big Girls Don't Cry," like the way back in the day. That's what
big
you need to make.
Big girl,
I love that.
There
version.
You go.
I love that version.
There you go.
All right, we've got the Chiefs who have. I'm not gonna. This is obviously an overstatement or an understatement. Muddled through to be 15-2 this season. They're the number one seed in the AFC. They don't have to worry about Buffalo or Baltimore this week. Those two are going to face off against each other. But they have a Houston team which was really dominant, especially after the first quarter and their win over the Chargers last weekend. How much of a threat do the Texans pose?
Well, I mean, it's a threat, but like you're in the playoffs and you're in the divisional round. I think it's actually probably as good of a matchup as the Chiefs could have hoped for. You know, you look up and the Vegas odds, they're 8.5-point favorites. You know, they got the 3 weeks to rest up. They're going to be at home. There's going to be some weather, which, again, just like we talked about last year in the divisional round, Chiefs play in Miami, and a Miami team comes in here and a little bit shell-shocked by the cold they're experiencing. I mean, it's hard for anybody in Houston to, you know, simulate what they're going to feel out there when it's single-degree wind chills coming up on Saturday. So, I mean, could the Texans beat the Chiefs? Absolutely. And you saw what the defense can do. The defense is really good. And that's how the Texans dominated that game last week, got some turnovers. And those are the sorts of things that can swing games. But, you know, in general, I mean, I think the Chiefs couldn't really ask for much more. You mentioned in the Bills and Ravens are on the other side of the bracket. They can go beat each other up and knock each other out and have the winner come to Arrowhead next week. And as far as the Chiefs go, as long as they play how they feel like they can play and don't have these crazy swings of momentum or turnovers, then I think you have to like their chances. So, obviously the tape didn't lie last week with what the Texans did against the Chargers, and that was a surprise to a lot of people out there. But like I said, this sets up pretty nicely for the Chiefs. It's really nice to have the one seed, get the bye week, and then be able to take on the lowest seed available. And so that's what they earned over the regular season, and I think it's a big advantage now at this point.
I'll go back before we move ahead more into the Texans matchup. But just looking at the AFC West as a whole, you know, the year that it had getting three teams to the playoffs, that looks really good. How wide is the gap, in your opinion, still between the Chiefs and the Chargers and the Broncos, two teams that made the playoffs and made leaps, but in the playoffs they didn't really show much? Do they still have a lot of work to do, or is that gap narrowed a little bit?
Yeah, closing for sure. I think you just start with two of the most important things in the NFL and football, whatever you say. I mean, it's a coach and a quarterback, right? I mean, you start with those two things, and all of a sudden you look across the division in the AFC West and Chargers, you got a coach and a quarterback. I know Herbert didn't play well last week, and obviously they've got to get over some of those playoff woes that they've had recently, but like Herbert's pretty good, and Jim Harbaugh's pretty good, and you look over in Denver, it's like Sean Payton's had success, and he's been pretty good, and Bo Nix wasn't perfect this season, but obviously, you know, he performed in some big moments and, you know, was able to find receivers down the field and scramble when he needed to and use the run game when he needed to. So it still feels like the Chiefs are ahead, and obviously they've dominated this division for a long time now, but I guess you just look to the games at Arrowhead this year that they needed a blocked field goal to beat the Broncos, and they needed a doinked field goal to beat the Chargers at Arrowhead. So definitely a closing gap, and I think, you know, if you have those two things in place, any NFL team, if you have a quarterback and you have a head coach and both of those are competent and both of those you feel good about, then, yeah, you're going to be a competitive team. And so I do think the AFC West took a major step forward this season.
Well, going back to the game, how much concern is there about a little rust? I mean, I know they're professionals. We're talking about they're better players. But when you've had almost a month off and then go back into a playoff game, there's got to be a little bit of rust. Will they shake that off after the first quarter? Or do you think that there's going to be any of that?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it would be a bigger concern for the Chiefs if Andy Reid wasn't their coach. And the bottom line with the matter is, like, you – coach this long and in this many playoffs, and you've had a lot of different scenarios. And it was interesting, like even talking in the locker room, I talked earlier this week with two guys who have not won Super Bowls yet, but are still trying to help the Chiefs to a three-peat. You know, guys like Hollywood Brown, you know, he's trying to win one. And, you know, Nico Remigio was actually on the practice squad last year, but he wasn't on the main roster. But I got over to Matt Araiza, the punter, who, you know, the Chiefs just signed this year. And he had kind of interesting this thing to say, which is like, the good thing that the Chiefs have going is nobody in the building questions if what they're doing is correct. They don't question if this is the right move or if this is, you know, all the direction that everybody should be moving in because of Andy Reid and because they've won two straight Super Bowls. And so Andy Reid sort of mentioned that this week where, like, there's certain things he's done in practice to keep guys sharp and to kind of try to get them introduced to the speed of the playoffs. He talks about the speed getting greater every single round, but for instance, last week, guys, they went ones-on-ones, which they hadn't done since training camp. You know, that's usually a training camp thing where you're getting bored in practice and you want, you know, Chris Jones against Patrick Mahomes and the first-team offensive line. But during the season, you want to rest up and you want to go against the scout team. You want to prepare for a game. So there are kind of tricks of the trade that Andy Reid has used to try to motivate his players, keep them sharp for this week. And, again, it doesn't mean that the rust can't show up on Saturday. It absolutely could, but I do think there is – some comfort from around this building knowing that if the Chiefs are going to be in one coach's hands, they're going to be in Andy Reid's hands, and he's been through scenarios like this in the past before and sort of knows how to handle these situations.
Jesse Newell with us. We're talking Chiefs as they prepare for the Houston Texans coming up Saturday in the playoffs divisional round. Are the Chiefs as healthy offensively as they've been all year? And that just seems to be right up Jason asked about the layoff, being healthy, having a little time to heal, and having Andy Reid as the coach seems like a recipe that they're going to roll out some maybe offense that we haven't seen with greater health than we've seen. Are you expecting some new things?
Yeah, I will get to the health here in a second, but you bring up a really good point about Andy and getting time off as well. My colleague Sam McDowell at the Star looked up this stat. He was curious, and so he had to go basically by hand to look this up. When Andy Reid has a bye week and the other team does not have a bye week, his record is 29-3 in the NFL. So, again, if you're talking about advantages, and maybe there is rust because this is kind of an extended layoff for guys like Patrick Mahomes, but if you're looking at any team or any coaching staff or any coach in the NFL that potentially takes advantage of extra time, no one does it better than Andy Reid, and that's been proven throughout the course of his career. As far as injuries go, I mean, it's crazy, Bob. Like Rashee Rice is out for the year, and Mecole Hardman returned to practice this week, was limited and probably won't play, you know, with Nico Remigio taking over the punt return, kick return role here the last 5 weeks or so. But literally outside of that, like, they have a whole roster. Like everybody's back. You know, Chris Jones was battling a calf injury before. he's going to be back full strength, a full practice this week. Patrick Mahomes, I mean, I know he played like he didn't have a high sprained ankle, but he did. Now he's back. He's healthy. Hollywood Brown, they've only played him in 33% of the snaps in his two games back. Why would that not be 80%? You know, it's the playoffs now. It's time to get out there and time to utilize the best weapons you have. So it really is crazy for a team at this point in the season to be as healthy as the Chiefs are going into this one. Again, you'd love to have Rashee Rice in there. There's no doubt about that. He would be one of the Chiefs' best players if he was out there. But outside of that and outside of potentially Mecole Hardman, I mean, the other one we got to mention is Jalen Watson. It sure seems like he's going to play on Saturday. This is near miraculous because, you know, I still learned in the season a couple weeks ago or a couple months ago. I know in the building they were not expecting him back at all for this season. And now to have him back potentially for the first round of the playoffs and maybe be a starter to step back in next to Trent McDuffie in that defensive backfield, the Chiefs are getting major lifts, major boosts when it comes to health and really couldn't be in much better position when it comes to this time of the season, especially after going through the grind of a schedule they went through in previous weeks.
We were, Jason and I were talking about this yesterday, and I don't know if I made my point quite as eloquently as I wanted, but you have these three generational quarterbacks still left in the AFC. You could talk maybe about Burrow being in that group since he did go to a Super Bowl, and Baltimore and Buffalo play this week, and one of those quarterbacks is going to lose and come up short again this year. Is it fair to discuss, you know, guys without a ring or legacy? It seems much more difficult when you have several dominant players to get one than when you don't have as many dominant players. I don't know. Again, I don't know if that makes sense, but is it fair to those guys, Allen and Jackson and Burrow, to discuss their legacies at this point?
Well, I know that what will be interesting next week is sort of the narrative surrounding this, because if the Chiefs do win, no matter who comes to Arrowhead, they are going to be seeing ghosts. They're going to be seeing a Chiefs team that always seems to get their number at this point in the season. And, you know, mentioned Jeff, I mean, like, you're going to be seeing a quarterback who is going to be so desperate to beat these Chiefs because of what's happened in the past. You know, like Lamar Jackson, if you go back to week one this year, he ran the ball like 17 or 18 times against the Chiefs, not sustainable for a whole year, but he was just like, screw it. I want to beat the Chiefs. I want to get this, you know, this curse away from me. And I mean, we don't need to repeat the Bills, like the Bills 13 seconds or last year when they play at Buffalo and missed field goal and, you know, to bring back the same kicker potentially into Arrowhead this year. All these things, like to your point, it's interesting to wonder, like, how many Super Bowl rings would Josh Allen have right now if Patrick Mahomes didn't go to the Chiefs? You know, like a lot, right? At least two, maybe three. So it is crazy to kind of compare these. It's kind of like a Peyton Manning, Tom Brady sort of discussion, but it does make for potentially a fun matchup. My goodness, guys, like whoever that would be, whether it be the Ravens or the Bills, if they were able to come to Arrowhead next week, play in the AFC Championship game, there would be storylines galore, and obviously one team, again, trying to get away from their ghosts, try to exercise demons and beat a team that right now has the psychological edge over the rest of the AFC. So we'll see if one of those quarterbacks can do it and can beat Mahomes and can add to their legacy. But until it happens, yeah, they'll be playing second fiddle, and that's sort of exactly how this whole narrative has played out so far.
All right, Jesse, as always, we appreciate your time. The Chiefs in Houston coming up 3:30, I believe, is the kickoff at Arrowhead Stadium on Saturday afternoon. Thanks as always.
All right. Appreciate it, guys.
Here's Sean Johnson, now the assistant general manager, just promoted this week with the Minnesota Twins. He's been part of the Twins organization for 24 seasons now. Sean, hello.
Hey, how are you, Bob?
We're doing well. We're happy to have you. Congratulations on your new gig. You get promoted about every other year now, so this is pretty impressive. Tell us about this new job, how it's different from what you've been doing, which is mostly in the scouting avenue of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, no, I think in the short term, my job, my main responsibilities will still be with the amateur draft, which is what I love to do. It's what I've been around my whole career. So I think most of that will be the same. And then I'll also get the opportunity to, you know, venture into other parts of baseball operations and have more contributions with other things that are going on as the year, you know, goes, the calendar goes through the year.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about, you know, obviously Minnesota Twins players who come through Wichita in Double A on their way up to the big club. How nice and how fun is it for you to watch the guys you've helped scout and helped draft and been a part of that process to see them get up to the big leagues? I have to imagine that seeing the fruits of your labor is pretty rewarding.
Yeah, I think you put it the right way. It is rewarding. You know, scouting is, it hasn't really gotten any easier since I started. It's a difficult task. And to see guys get to the big leagues and can contribute to a club and, you know, help us push into the playoffs, you know, a year ago, it's very rewarding. It's a kind of a full circle moment because you see these players long before they're polished and, you know, what you see them on TV, they're a long way from that, especially the high school players we draft. So to see them get there and contribute and stop in Wichita along the way is even more special. And that's why we do it. It keeps you going.
Sean, I know you mentioned you're going to be part of the amateur draft a lot. And I know you got a few assistant general managers there. Are you going to have just specific things that you will personally take care of and then you kind of venture out after that? Or how does it work on the day-to-day operations? Will you be involved in a lot of the other stuff too, or kind of just stick to some of the things that they want you to do?
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think most of my job will still revolve around the amateur scouting world and the draft and overseeing that. But, you know, I'm lucky to be able to get involved with trade discussions and free agents and trade deadline. There's a lot of events that happen on the calendar, and I'll be involved with those things, and I'm looking forward to doing more of that.
Well, I wish you'd join the Cardinals and be involved in something that I'm waiting for them to do something this offseason. Driving me crazy. Sean Johnson with us, one of the new assistant general managers for the Minnesota Twins. Grew up here in Wichita, played at Wichita State. And I got to ask you, we mentioned the passing of Bob Uecker today at the age of 90, one of the great legends in all of baseball history. Some as a player, obviously, but mostly as a broadcaster and as an entertainer, really. Did you ever have a chance to meet Bob Uecker in your travels across baseball?
I saw him once in a press box, you know, the dining room before a game. I never got a chance to talk to him. But from what I know, he's exactly what people think of him. Just a great, great guy who had an amazing life. And you know, everybody loved him. I know the Brewers franchise is taking it pretty hard today. Sent them a couple texts, but it's tough when you lose an icon like that's meant so much to a franchise. So it's a tough day for Milwaukee.
Yeah, for sure. I wanted to ask you about Walker Jenkins, the top-rated prospect in the Twins organization. Got a little taste of Double A last year, and then he played in like the last series, I think, for them. What about his makeup? He definitely looked the part in the brief time here in Wichita. What about his makeup made you feel like he could handle, you know, two or three promotions last year?
Yeah, Walker's one of my most favorite players I've ever had a chance to scout and get to know. It's rare that you see a player when they're 17, 18 years old that they can kind of see their whole future in front of them, even at that young of an age. He's very focused on becoming a major league player and being a good major league player, and he obviously has the skill and the ability to do that. So it's probably just a matter of time before he gets up to the big leagues, but I'm glad, you know, fans in Wichita will have a chance to see him this year and see him develop. But to get to Double A at the age he got there is hard to do, and he's a guy who can, we're not shocked by the things he's done. And, you know, he started out, you know, injured last spring, so the fact that he still got to Double A with in that short amount of time in the summer is pretty impressive. But doesn't surprise anybody that knows Walker. He's an amazing kid from an amazing family in North Carolina, and we see a lot in him and a really bright future.
So when you're scouting these guys, does it take a ton of time, or is it with some guys you just see that thing, you know, and people talk about that thing, he's just got that thing? Is it kind of either way when it comes to saying this guy might be somebody we want to look at?
Yeah, it's the beautiful part about amateur scouting is they're all different puzzle pieces that you have to put together and try to figure out. And you know, you're wrong a lot, and the goal is just to be right more than you're wrong, and that's hard to do. But when you walk into see Walker Jenkins in high school, he obviously stands out physically. He's a grown man at 18, and so those are the special days when you walk in and you watch the, you can watch a swing or two and know this guy's got a good swing, and you get to know him as a person and how he's wired, and you just start connecting the dots, and they're really easy with a guy like Walker Jenkins. But there's other guys that are more difficult to figure out and you know, where you should take him in a draft and where you should select them. But Walker Jenkins, you're just lucky he made it. You know, he was the fifth pick that year, and we weren't sure he was going to make it to five because he was just such a turnkey guy and without a lot of risk. So we're certainly glad we got him that year.
Talking with Sean Johnson, now assistant general manager of the Minnesota Twins and a Wichitan. So it's got to be cool to have the double A team here in Wichita. Just talk us, take us through growing up here and your baseball experience. And when did it first enter your brain, Sean, that maybe you wanted to find a way to, if it wasn't going to happen as a player, that you wanted to find a way to continue to have something to do with baseball? When did that enter your brain?
Yeah, I think, you know, I always loved playing baseball growing up. I had a bunch of great youth coaches. You know, the guy who impacted my high school life the most was Mike Gear. If I wouldn't have gone to his catching camp and whatever year that, I think that was like the second year he ever had the camp out at Collegiate, I wouldn't have ever been on Brent Chemnitz's radar at any point in time. You know, I started at Newman and then got a chance to go over to Wichita State right at the right time. We went to the World Series my first year there. But Gene and Brent, you know, they changed my life. You know, they, you know, taught me how to compete and be a part of a winning program. Luckily, being at South High, I was around Steve Eck, who, you know, I was right in the middle of the dynasty there with basketball. So I was around greatness and what that looked like. And I still think about those days all the time and how much that shaped me and what I believed and what I wanted to do. And I really wanted to be a coach. I had never really thought about being a scout. And then David Shad, fellow Wichitan, you know, he was a scouting director for the Marlins at the time. And you know, he brought me on and gave me a chance, and the rest is history. But I was blessed. I had a lot of good people in my path, and very grateful for that to this day.
Well, we're happy for you, and we appreciate you taking some time to come on the show today. And we're ready for baseball season, and we can't wait to see what's ahead for you and the Twins. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it, guys.
Thank you.
You betcha. All right, there you go. David Shad, who once upon a time reached out to you potentially about potentially scouting.
Yep.
Just think, we could be interviewing Jeff today.
Wouldn't that have been something?
Crazy.
Assistant GM of the who knows who?
The Guardians.
Oh, would have been unreal.
I'd be making moves, though. They probably wouldn't have me.
All right, we've got an hour left. We'll be making some picks. We'll talk a little more about Bob Uecker coming up next.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
I was in the D Club. I was popular with girls and boys.
Okay, this guy is a real zero. That's true.
Jeff Lutz.
Which means you weren't popular with either.
You're quasi-evil. You're semi-evil. You're the margarine of evil. You're the Diet Coke of evil. Just one calorie, not evil enough.
And Jason Duda. For today, anyway.
In your head, that's the way it is. So, okay. You're so smart. I'll let it roll.
Don't you have any respect for yourself?
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Turn it on and rip the knob off.
All right, welcome back. Hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show. Jason Duda in with us today, the three-man booth on a Thursday. So I'm looking at Facebook during the break, and a Facebook friend,
all right,
makes reference to the passing of Bob Uecker and spells it E-U-C-H-E-R. Now, I had a choice to make. I could either let that go and be okay with it and just move on with my day, or I could
correct
the spelling. Which do you think I did?
You corrected him. And you get mad at me for doing stuff like that.
I didn't do it in a bad way, but let's be respectful of the man. Just get the name right.
That wouldn't hurt.
That's all I ask.
Well, you don't need to ask.
What do you mean? What do you mean I don't need
that? What do you mean that's all you ask? From who?
Yeah.
From this friend of mine.
Did you ask?
Yeah, I said, let's get the name right, can we?
Doesn't sound like a question.
Well, I mean, what do you want me to do?
I don't know.
I knew it would be, I knew you guys would jump on me.
Euchre's a hard name to spell.
It is.
Oh, please.
There's a card game named Euchre.
Let me say this about Bob Euchre. He's got the oomph that everybody should know how to spell his name.
Well, some people don't.
Well, you wouldn't.
And I'm sure he probably didn't do it on purpose.
No, he didn't do it on purpose.
He misspelled his name on purpose?
If you're not sure how to spell a name, wouldn't you look?
Well,
wouldn't you?
That I can agree
you
with.
Look?
That I can agree with.
I look.
If you're sitting there going, "Oh, this guy, he died today, and I want to make reference to him, but I don't know how to spell his name, so I'm going to look and make sure I get it spelled right."
Not everybody thinks that way.
Everyone's different.
It's bizarre, but
so
they
you're
don't.
Defending them and not me.
No, I'm just saying you got to understand.
I do understand
that people are all different. And their priorities
are
different.
Thank you, Jeff.
And
can you talk?
He makes a point.
The way they approach things is different, and the way you might do it's hard. It's a hard reality to accept. I understand that. Like, well, this guy couldn't take time to spell this guy's name right. I understand that. That
come from
can
a
be
world
mildly
where
infuriating.
I come from a world where I may misspell some things, but it's not because I didn't look it up.
Well, then why
does that make sense? Like, it may be a typo, but when I sit down and I try to spell a word, I know how to spell it. Even the words I previously didn't know how to spell. And names are it's just commonplace, right?
Yeah, but he wasn't writing an essay. He wasn't writing an article. He thought, hey, I like Bob Euchre. I'd rather just get this out than worry about his spelling. I just want to. The sentiment is what counts here, and I'll just put it out.
You're the worst guy in the world to defend this.
Why?
Because you would have been all over this.
Sure.
And I rarely do that, but when it's somebody passing away,
I am much more a stickler about grammar than spelling these days, because people have no idea what they're doing grammar wise. They have no clue. They don't know.
Feeding into your
I don't care about somebody's spelling. That's an honest effort, I think, to try to spell a word.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
It's not. If you don't, why?
He tried to spell the word.
He did.
Why would
grammar
you just take the
is
two
easy
seconds to look it up?
I'm just saying.
And grammar's much harder than spelling.
No, it's not. Not to find out. And not to make a real honest effort. Like, no, it's not.
I completely disagree. You either get grammar or you don't. But spelling, you can do something about. That's why they have dictionaries.
That's why they have Jeffrey. To fix their grammar.
Well, I don't want my grammar fixed.
Well, you should.
I want my spelling fixed.
People don't know the difference between a lot of things, but it is what it is.
What if you died and we put up there, I'm going to miss Jeffrey Lutz, Lootz.
I wouldn't care.
Would you want me to correct it?
If you want. It doesn't matter to me.
Would you correct it if it was me?
Nothing post-mortem or posthumously matters to me.
What about you? What if they said, that dang Jason Duda, Doota, he was a heck of a player. Duda, I'm going to miss him.
I'm still trying to figure out what a dictionary is.
I mean, I have great respect for Bob Euchre. I don't want to see his name misspelled.
Well, I'm sure he doesn't either, but I don't think this person probably did it maliciously. It was
no,
just
they didn't
accident.
Do it maliciously.
It happened.
Why can't I be the good Samaritan who comes along and says, here's how you spell that, by the way?
I don't think there's nothing wrong with that either.
Thank you.
There.
That's all I'm doing. I'm being a good Samaritan.
Good.
I'm glad I could fix it for you guys.
So now we're all on the same page.
We were on the same page.
I felt like Jeff felt like I'd done something wrong.
No, just talking through it is all.
See? three grown men,
you know,
having a discussion, and this guy always has to be the guy that figures it out.
Who's that?
This guy.
Oh. Bob Uecker, by the way, part of the 1964 Cardinals championship team, part of it, didn't play a whole lot. But he was a backup catcher for a while to Tim McCarver. And do you remember the old records I had of the 64
yep.
and 67?
I'm sure they're in that cabinet
they
right
are
in
somewhere
there.
In there. But he was a big part of that 64 postseason record that the Cardinals put out. I listened to it a billion times. And they interviewed him in the clubhouse. Did you watch him on Johnny Carson, either of you?
I've seen him on Johnny Carson a few times.
I don't know if I have.
You ought to go to YouTube and watch him.
Jason's not
going to
go on YouTube.
No.
Well, he might.
He won't. I might.
Why
really?
Wouldn't he go on YouTube?
Why would he?
Because YouTube's a gold mine.
Dude doesn't care about any of the stuff that's on YouTube.
Well, I disagree with that.
He doesn't.
You can't just say he doesn't
like,
care.
What would you go back and watch? It's like from history or someone.
Shorzy.
There you go.
Might watch Shorzy on it.
I try to give you a little more credit than
you probably
than you
do
probably
that
deserve.
He gave a great answer, though.
Thank you, man. Appreciate that.
Yeah. I can't fault him for that.
I'm on YouTube all the time.
It just can be kind of addictive.
I think of somebody that I want to see or a musical performance. Now, he certainly wouldn't be into that, but YouTube's unbelievable.
I like watching old bands currently.
Old bands currently.
Yeah, I had a little Journey kick last week. Their drummer, who hasn't been with them forever, he sings Lights, and it's unbelievable. It's one of the best vocal performances I've heard. He's so good at it. And I don't get it.
Well, but they got him auto-tuned up.
They must, but it looks real to me.
Speaking of vocal performances.
Oh, God. See, I told you.
Well, I knew it was coming.
4 days in a row.
I'm surprised it took this long.
Well, you just reminded me. Yeah. Did you happen to see it?
No.
Dia didn't say, hey, come and watch this?
No, she said Bob sang, and I said, I don't know, they were talking about it. That's as far as it went.
Really? You didn't even have I'd like to see that.
No, it didn't cross my mind.
Good grief.
Things don't cross his mind.
I was making dinner at the time.
Wouldn't you think that if somebody you'd done radio with for 8 years or whatever it's been, and your wife says, come and look at this. I don't know, man. That's a low blow.
Well, that's not a low blow.
It's kind of a low blow.
Is it?
Yeah, because that was important to me.
Well, I'm sure you did a great job.
No, I don't. It's not even about that. And Jeff likes to, you know, denigrate or downgrade or whatever it is.
I asked him yesterday. He said he did a good job.
I did?
You did? You said that?
Did I say that?
Or it was fine, something like that, yeah.
Interesting.
You did say that?
I guess. I don't know.
Well, what did you say?
I have no idea. I have no recollection of
that was about it.
Offering any critique.
So you got a little something.
Here's the problem with Jeff. It's all a competition in his world. So if his...
Everything's a competition.
If his father gets praise...
Right.
...for something and he doesn't, he's sure as heck not going to really acknowledge it. And that's okay.
Well, I acknowledge you. How about that?
Yeah,
Not as my tribal chief, but I do acknowledge.
Well, you acknowledge me, but not really.
It's close enough.
It's all good.
I think the effort was there.
Yeah, I think I did fine.
Whereas if he sang and...
Man, I need to sing somewhere.
Well, get it on video.
I will.
That's the real test.
I will.
You will.
I'll get it on video.
You will.
I'll sing in the bathroom or something.
No, go out and actually sing with something.
I don't know. Sometimes my voice isn't, like I got to find a good time for my voice. You know what I'm saying?
I just stood
up. Like the other night, it was unbelievable.
I just stood up and started singing.
I was hitting all the notes, man. It was good.
You're delusional.
That's what you think.
I hate to have this conversation.
If that's what you think, man.
You are so good at a lot of things.
If that's what you think, man.
Say what you think, man.
Whatever you think, dog.
Dog? What yeah. When did all this start?
Yeah, man, whatever.
You're 42.
What are you talking about, man?
You know, this is the time of a midlife crisis. Did you go through one?
I'm having one right now.
What? How do you? In what way?
I don't know.
You're a little old for that.
I'm old for that? In
yeah,
what way?
I associate the midlife crisis for right around 40.
Oh,
you're
so
right,
I'm not
you're
allowed
right
to
around 50.
I'm
I don't
not
know.
Allowed to have one?
Well, if you are, you are. But what does that look like?
I don't think I'm having a midlife crisis.
You are.
I think I'm having a midlife reinvention, a midlife renaissance. I think I'm only growing. I'm only growing and getting better. I'm only moving forward.
That's so crisis.
That's a great.
That's such
midlife
a
crisis.
Why do you, I think it must be? I don't feel like I'm in crisis at all.
I'm shocked Max didn't go for the fool alert there, because there's no way. You're not having a midlife crisis.
I don't think
your
I am.
Your daughter left for college.
Yeah.
You're sitting out there with your wife. You're looking across the table.
Having a good time.
Tell us about it.
Tell us about what? What do you
He's
want me to tell you about?
He's got a whole new family. He's got like 22 cats.
Got cats that I love that hang out with us. You know, got what possibly could I be in crisis over?
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
Midlife.
Why? I enjoy aging. There will probably come a time where I stop enjoying aging. But for now, hey, I don't feel any different than I felt when I was 16, but I'm 42.
What
That's
age
fascinating.
Do you think you'll take notice of?
I don't know. It's fascinating.
Are you
to
there
me.
Yet?
With what?
Aging and taking notice of it and
a little bit.
To slow down a little bit. And
I know I'm aging. I mean, I'm not stupid.
You're going to be 50, right?
Yeah. So I don't got much time left.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, if you want to look at the history of my family and the guy's side.
Well, let's not get into all
I
that.
I think everybody huh? thinks.
Then you gotta
I think everybody
bit.
Thinks their clock is ticking. And then they get to an age, and I never thought I'd get to this age. And it kind of just keeps going. I think you're fine. I think you'll be okay.
Thanks, Matt.
Well, we'll see. You know, he could drop over in that chair, and would we notice?
Huh?
We'd have to wheel him out of here.
Yeah, that would be fun, wouldn't it? Wheeling me out of this bad boy.
Oh, God.
I could see you two.
Can
just,
I use that chair the rest
just
of
Just trying to roll me out of this thing would be
We'd have
to
call your wife and let her take it from there.
She'd be like, oh, really?
I would I have to stay for all that?
You can go.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's all good.
Okay, so there you go. UECKER. Bob Uecker. In 1964, the team photo for the Cardinals, what made that funny?
They were holding hands.
Who?
Bob Gibson.
There you go. Good. I'm glad you knew that.
Thank you.
I'm very glad you knew that. That warms my heart. And
I pick up on things every now and then.
Uecker talked about that. I was watching one of his Johnny Carson appearances earlier today. And he talked about that.
You should watch the clip of Norm Macdonald talking about him. It's awesome.
Of Norm Macdonald talking about Bob Uecker?
Yeah.
I think I've seen that.
Where they ran into John Fogerty?
Yes. That is
hilarious.
That is very funny. Norm Macdonald, extremely funny.
Another great we lost a couple years ago.
So did you get to the end of Landman?
Yes.
Good show.
Yeah, it is.
I still say the depiction of women in that show is strange, but it held our interest for sure.
Oh, it held the interest. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
It's maybe one of my new favorite shows. I think it's fantastic.
It's a very good show.
So
but it's a strange show.
Well, kind of, yeah, but that's what shows are supposed to be.
I've never known, again, I think I've mentioned this to you, if your 17-year-old daughter behaved like his 17-year-old daughter.
Oh, there'd be an issue.
Well, exactly.
Behaved how?
Well, have you watched the show?
Behaved how? I'm asking.
How do I put this?
Sexually promiscuous. Let's just say that.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
I
around her father, around her mother.
I definitely don't need to hear it.
No. It's like they're
It's like her mom and her are a college
teenage
dorm mate.
Exactly. First year in college.
Yeah. So
they went to the strip club together in the last show.
Yeah.
But that was kind of, I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's a good show.
The elderly folks had a blast. I think it was great.
There are people like that, I'm sure, out there. I don't know any of them. I don't know any fathers or mothers who would be comfortable with that behavior.
No, I mean, it's fine to go, but I don't know if I would go with one of my kids.
Well, of course you wouldn't.
Yeah, you never know, but.
What?
I'm saying right now, probably not.
Yeah, wow.
It's on the table. Dia, listen. It's on the table for you to potentially accompany one of your children to a strip club.
Well, if they needed to go for whatever reason, and
what would the need be?
Yeah, maybe it was a bachelorette party or a bachelor party or something.
And you'd go with them? That's weird. To go to a bachelor party with your kid?
What if I was invited to the bachelor
party? That's also
weird. What if it was a family friend? What if it was a cousin? And so everybody went, uncles and
to a
brothers
strip club
and friends. Well, have you never been to a strip club with anybody before?
I've never been to a strip club.
I haven't been with my parents either.
Not my parents, well, for sure.
You got to keep things open nowadays, boys.
Doesn't hurt.
Boy, that is, Dia, call the show. That could be the inspiration.
Can't. Call us in 3 hours, Dia.
Yeah. 869-1240 if you get this message. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back and make picks. Just a few weeks left. It would look like Jason Duda's lead is insurmountable. But that's why we play the game. We'll see if somebody has a run in them. And we'll make picks next.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
All right, we are back. And we're ready to make some picks here very shortly. Thanks to Max for the music this week. Let's get it going. We're waiting. I think we have Anthony on the line here, or he's about to join us. Big fella, how you doing?
Tired.
Tired?
Very.
Come on, man.
Yeah. You're in the club. Jeff's tired, too.
I'm fine.
He's money.
Oh, you guys. Anyway, we're going to make some picks. Right now, Jason Duda well in the lead, but we'll see. We got a few weeks left. See if anybody can make a move. We start in the National Football League divisional playoff games. There are four of them this weekend. We go first to Detroit, where the Lions are a 9.5-point favorite. 9.5 points against the Washington Commanders. I'm going to start with this one. I like Washington within that number for four. Jeff.
Yeah, I like Washington as a team. I read on The Athletic a pretty long piece about Dan Campbell, and I've been watching his press conferences over the past couple days. It'd be nice for them to go all the way.
You just said you like Washington.
And I like them as a team, but I think they kind of spent what they have last week. That's probably their beginning and end in this playoffs. So I got Detroit for three.
Duda.
Yeah, I mean, Washington's played well, but I think Detroit, the guy had the week off. I think they're going to get a little healthy on the defensive side, and I just don't think they're going to be able to hang here. So I have Detroit for four.
What about you, Max?
Yeah, I'm with these guys. I think the Washington gave it all they had last week, so I'm going to Lions for three at home.
And, Anthony, you want to go with those losers, or you want to be on my train?
Well, let me see here. That's a toughie. But I'll take Detroit at home for 5.
Doggone, man. I gotta make up some ground.
You're Gilligan, Bob.
Somewhere.
What's that, Max?
You're Gilligan. You're on an island.
There you go. The Rams in Philadelphia. The Eagles giving 7.5 points. We'll start with Jeff.
This one's tough, too. I'm so influenced by people and that know more than me.
Just stop at people?
Mike Florio. Be nice. Mike Florio is on Rich Eisen. He thinks kind of the Rams are kind of done, too, after their emotional win the other night. I got Philly for 7.
I don't think it's a matter of knowing something. If Mike Florio had the keys to every game,
knows more about the NFL than I do.
He'd get every bet right, and he'd go off and live in some Greek
island.
That's
why I said I'm influenced. But
Duda.
This is a tough one, but I kind of like the Rams getting 7.5. I think they can keep
7
it,
and what?
7 and the hook.
There you go.
So I got the Rams for 5.
Max, what do you think?
Would have been a different game a little bit if Green Bay didn't fumble on the first kickoff and everything. I think the Rams can cover, so I'm taking the Rams for 7. I think Philly won't win, but I think the Rams
7.
Can cover.
Anthony?
I'm taking the Eagles. They're at home, so I'll take the Eagles in 4.
Philadelphia and 4. I like Philadelphia at home as well. I think the Rams are good. Minnesota didn't put up any kind of a fight.
Rams could win this game.
I like Philadelphia here for 3. Baltimore and Buffalo, certainly the one game that we'll all be watching. The last game of the divisional round played early Sunday evening in Buffalo. Cold, dark. The Bills and Ravens, it's a pick'em game. Duda.
Did you just say the Rams could win this game, but you picked Philly?
I'm just wouldn't be surprised.
By the way,
wouldn't either.
This is our bonus pick. What do you have, Duda?
I think Lamar's going to finally maybe get this done. I have Baltimore for 10.
There's where you open the door. Matt?
Oh, yeah. He said that last week and the week before and the week before and the week before.
Well, you do open the doors, whether any of us can go through it and whether you miss one of these. Max?
I like the fact that Matt Milano came back for the Bills. Josh Allen's on a mission. So I'm taking the Bills at home for 6. Bills Mafia.
Buffalo for 6. Anthony, this is such an intriguing game. Who you going with?
Very intriguing. I mean, you got Lamar on one side, Josh Allen on the other side. And Josh Allen has a remarkable story because he's been playing with a broken hand since week number 2. So I might have to just go with, against my better judgment, but I might just go with Buffalo at home for, I'm going to open up the door to 9.
9. Might as well go 10. What the heck?
All right,
I will pick.
You coax me.
All right, there. I talked him into it. I love this game. I think Baltimore is a better team than Buffalo, but I think Buffalo being at home, that's why this is a pick'em game. I'm going to pick Buffalo, and I got to go 10. I'm in that position where I got to make something happen. Jeff.
Well, I got to make something happen, too. And even though I wrote down Baltimore 10, and I'm really pulling for Lamar Jackson, I don't know who I'm pulling for in all of this, but I want Lamar Jackson at least to win this game. So give me Buffalo for 10.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't, does it?
Chiefs at home against Houston. The Texans not getting any love here. This is a strange line. In my opinion, 8.5. I know who Max is going to pick. How many points on the Texans,
Max? Give me
Max?
The Texans for 6. Bye-bye.
They're not going bye-bye, I don't think. Anthony?
The Texans and the Chiefs. I've been telling people that the Texans are going to upset the Chiefs. But that's
how many points on Houston?
But that's a good comedy joke. I'm taking Kansas City and 7.
Boy, I don't think Kansas City can win this game by 9 or more. I got to pick Houston for 5. Jeff.
Houston can definitely, or Kansas City can definitely win this game by 9 or more.
But I don't think they will. Then make your pick.
I got Houston for 1, but I'm not just out there. Kansas City could really beat Houston pretty bad.
What about you, Duda?
Yeah, element's going to be cold. Houston's a dome team. They're traveling. They got pumped last time they were there. This is going against what I've done most of the year, but I got KC for 6.
Good. There's enough. Man, I could be so back in this.
Yeah, but you won't be.
Passing yardage. Be quiet, Jeff.
Well, he's right.
Speak when you're spoken to.
He was.
Sorry.
I'm serious. I'm close.
Passing yards.
Passing yards in the 4 NFL games. A total of 2,000, over or under. Anthony.
You said over 2,000? Passing yards,
yes,
all games?
Over or under 2,000.
Over.
Come on now.
Yeah, I'll say over. With the 3 confidence.
There you go. So over under this, that would require
250 for everybody.
250 or more per quarterback. I like the under here for 7. Jeff,
I'm with you. A lot of running quarterbacks, some elements that'll get in the way. I've got under for 6.
Duda,
yeah, I have the under as well for 3.
Max,
I'm with the unders, under for 4.
Somebody's going to go off and throw for 475 yards. All right, rushing yards over or under 800. That's 200 rushing yards per game. We open with me on this one. I'm going to go over on this one, and I'm going to go 6. Jeff.
You've got Henry, you've got Jackson, you've got Saquon, you've got all the elements to go over, so I'll go over, and I'll say 4.
Duda?
Yeah, I think this is over for sure. You mentioned all those running backs, plus then you got to throw Jaden Daniels, Hurts in there. I think this is easily over. I got over for 7.
Max?
Yeah, I think you can go over, but I'm only going 1 on the over.
Only 1, and what about you, Anthony?
I'll go over for 2.
Over for 2. Mm-hmm. A clean sweep for the overs. Now to the college football championship game to be played Monday night. Ohio State, Notre Dame. Ohio State giving 8.5 points. Jeff.
I read something today where it's not the last 3, but 3 Notre Dame coaches, Holtz, Parsegian, I can't remember the other one, won the national championship in their 3rd year. This is me being influenced again. Marcus Freeman's in his 3rd year. So I'm going to go Notre Dame, but only for 2.
This is a tough game, in my opinion. Duda.
I think Ohio State routes them. I don't think this is going to be that close. I am not an Ohio State fan, as everyone well knows.
We know.
I got Ohio State for 8.
Really? You've never picked a college game for 8 yet?
Well,
you're choking your guts out.
It's a national championship, and I got such a big lead. Like, I give some back to make it interesting.
Max, what do you think?
I think, having talked to Mike Vrabel, that I'm going Ohio State for 8.
Who's Mike Vrabel? Anthony.
I don't think he talked to him.
Well, Ohio State, Notre Dame, it just seems like fate is on Notre Dame's side, and Lou Holtz has gotten inside of Ryan Day's head, so he can't game plan correctly because he's too busy going back and forth with Lou Holtz. So I'm going to take Notre Dame and Six.
Six for Notre Dame. I'm going to take Notre Dame as well. And while I don't have a great amount of confidence, 2 points. The over-under Notre Dame-Ohio State is 46.5. Duda.
I'm going to take the over for two.
Over for two. Max?
Ted, the sports head, told me that he thought the Notre Dame Cinderella run was over, so I'm taking the over for five.
What about you, Anthony?
I will take the under for one.
Under for one. 46.5, that's an interesting number, man. I could see this game being 24-21, 24-17. That's kind of where I have it. I'm going to go under for one. Jeff?
Well, if Notre Dame wins, it's going to be a low-scoring game. So I'm going to cover my bases, win at least one of these, and I'll take the over for eight.
What if you miss both of them?
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
It happens. Don't worry about it, kid.
Finally, college basketball, our final pick of the week. Kansas State visiting Lawrence on Saturday afternoon to face the Jayhawks. I've made this line 10.5. Max, we start with you.
I'm going KU for two.
KU covering 10.5. Anthony.
Yeah, KU's going to cover this, and I will drop a five spot on it because I haven't already used that one.
You already used your five. So what you have left, the only number you have left, Anthony, is your eight. So you have to go KU for eight, which is what I'm doing, by the way.
I'll go KU for eight.
There you go, and that's what I'm doing. I'm going KU for eight as well. Jeff?
I think this line's going to settle in at about the 8.5 range probably, but I still think KU can win by double digits plus. KU for five.
Duda. You could bury us.
It's just that one. Well, I only got my 1 point left, so.
No, that's right.
I'm going to take the points here. You never know in this stinking rivalry, and you never know KU. Who knows? I'll take K-State for one.
Well, there you go. It's only one. All right, there you go. There's our picks. Only 3 weeks of picks left after this. Until we've reached the end of this.
Wild.
All right, Anthony, thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon. What's been accomplished today? We've talked about Bob Uecker. We talked with Sean Johnson, the new general manager of the Minnesota Twins, or assistant general manager. Jesse Newell took us to Kansas City. Talk about the Chiefs Texans. I suppose we can spend more time on that one. It's odd. It's very odd that Duda picked the Chiefs.
It is.
Goes against his philosophy, really.
Well, they haven't covered the spread at all this year, but I just got some weird feeling that Houston's just not going to show up. Their defense is what won it for them last week. I don't think they're going to be able to stop Mahomes. I think that Kansas City's defense will be able to shut down Houston. And so I think they win this by about
Nico
10,
Collins
10
is
to
back.
13.
I don't know. This is
they got Nico Collins, so shut him down. If Watson comes back, that's going to help.
Or McDuffie will be on
or
him.
Or McDuffie. And then in the backfield, you got Joe Mixon, who hasn't run the ball well. He ended up running the ball for 100 yards last week, but because they got up, so they just kept feeding him. If they get down, they're going to take him away and out of the game. And who else do they have?
Well, it's just John Mechie.
Like, who are these guys?
Remember when they had Tank Dell and Stephon Diggs, man?
A little different. If they have Tank Dell, Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins out there, all of a sudden you got weapons all over the place, but they don't.
I need Houston to lose by a touchdown, which is what I think will happen.
I don't know if I think that anymore. I kind of think Casey's.
Well, then why didn't you pick Kansas?
Turn it on. Step on the gas. I probably should have.
Because he's listening to me and he realizes that I'm probably right. That's the problem.
Well, I don't realize that at all.
The only reason I picked Houston for one is because Kansas City didn't win many games by that many, but it's different in the playoffs. They're a different team.
in the playoffs. They have a another level that other teams don't have the luxury of finding out if they have another level.
Yeah, but it's not about that. I think they're going to win. This isn't a slap to the Chiefs.
Yeah, but 28-21 is
win.
Not. Sure. But 28-21 is less than probably I think the Chiefs are capable of.
I don't know about that. I think it's a 21-13 game.
Yeah, Houston's not going to score 20 points.
Oh, they will or they won't.
The elements are going to be a factor. It's going to be what, like 10 degrees and a 15-mile-an-hour wind out there? It's going to be just like Miami going in there last year. It's going to be a spanking. And I have not said that about the Chiefs in any game this year.
Yeah, the worst part of the picks this year is that it's given you confidence that you think you know what you're talking about.
If we were talking about college games, no, I wouldn't say anything.
Well, you would, because you picked Ohio State for 8.
Because it's a national championship game.
You feel like now you know it all.
It's a national championship game. Yes, I'm going to make that my 8-point game. Either way, I would have went there. Didn't matter. I'm going to watch it
either
Monday
way,
night. If I'd have went Notre Dame, whatever, it's a national championship game. I'm taking that one for my high point total. It's 4 and I watch it Monday night.
Well, I don't care what you
watch. Give a little extra juice.
Exactly. Why wouldn't you?
I don't know.
Well, I don't think you'll watch the whole game.
I probably won't make it through the whole game.
Well,
but I'll watch it.
You'll tune in, is what
I'll
you're saying.
I'll tune in, and I might tune out.
Yeah.
My tune out's because I went night-night.
Will you tune in to Pacers-Pistons tonight?
Absolutely not.
I watched them the other night against Cleveland. And,
the win or the loss? Because this was debated yesterday.
Well, they didn't have Halliburton.
Well, no, but you had that guy that shoved the official.
Didn't shove her.
Bumped into her.
Yeah, I don't condone it, but he didn't shove.
It was on purpose.
He got suspended.
I don't know, man. I've watched the Cavs quite a bit, and I like them.
They're good.
I like their makeup.
We beat them, but they're good.
I don't know why you're not a Cavs fan.
I'm not a Cavs fan.
I know. I don't get that.
And yesterday,
you're an Ohio guy.
Yeah, that's all great.
I'm
a Pacers fan. And remember yesterday I said I'm almost more nervous when I watch the Pacers than I watch the Guardians. Here's why. Because being down by 7, for some reason, feels like being down 7 runs. It doesn't feel like, oh, we got 2 minutes, we can take care of this. Down 7, I'm doom and gloom. I hate it.
I don't know what that means.
I think Duda does.
Yeah, he's a mess. The hamster stopped for a second. It's okay.
What do you mean you think Duda does?
I think I explained it to where a normal human being can...
But you've been around basketball your whole life.
I know,
you know,
but
a 7-point lead in basketball is literally nothing.
Especially in the NBA. Can go away in a heartbeat. But for some reason, I'm just nervous. Unless they're winning. Unless we're winning.
So weird.
How much of this Pacers thing is real? I'm still trying to figure it out.
Do you not think that it's real?
I don't know if it's 100% real.
I know every time I turn on the Pacers, I am emotional about the Pacers.
Is your wife on board with this?
She's fine with it.
Is she a Pacers fan?
If she's at some
level.
Probably. Not much, but a little.
She either likes them or hates them because she has to watch them.
No, my wife didn't like that.
My wife
somehow supports everything I do for some reason.
I've watched more NBA in the last couple weeks than I did all year long. And last night we got on the Knicks 76ers, which went to overtime. And you'll hate what I'm going to say.
Jalen Brunson, what a player.
Jalen Brunson is so good.
Yeah, because he shoots every time he touches the ball.
Well, he almost always makes it.
I'm not a fan.
I know you're not.
We took them down in the postseason, by the way.
I know you're not a fan. But if you're going to sit there and tell me he's not entertaining to watch, you don't know basketball.
I don't like watching him.
Sad.
I don't like watching him.
You only like watching the Pacers.
Yeah, exactly.
So
we pass.
You're not going to be happy watching anybody else.
We pass the ball. We get guys involved. We're a team.
Except you don't play defense.
We're better, much better at defense this year. Once we get Neesmith back, we'll be much, much better.
There's not a person listening.
Who cares? I understand.
Cares about the pace.
I get it. That's why we don't talk about them very much.
And I'll believe you on the Pacers when you go to Indianapolis.
Really?
And watch a game.
I haven't been to Cleveland to watch a game. I've been to one in like 15 years.
Really? That's all?
Yeah.
I'm going to really work. No, I'm not. Because the Cardinals are going to be terrible.
What were you about to say? Go to St. Louis?
Well, because I love St. Louis, for one.
Right.
And there's so much else to do there that I'm used to doing that I haven't done in years and years. But, man, Zia's? Wouldn't you like to go there?
Sure, I'll go to Zia's with you.
Does Cleveland go to St. Louis next year?
Probably. Cleveland, no, Cleveland was in St. Louis this past year.
Cleveland this year.
Doggone it.
I don't know. We won 2 of 3 against you.
Yeah, why didn't you guys go to that? That'd have been you guys fighting all week.
Because we'd already wrapped up everything. Pride, I guess, was on the line for him a little bit. But
well, we won 2 of 3. I mean, nothing to be gained from it. But we won
lost
two of
for
three.
Us.
We won 2 of 3.
All right. We won 2 of 3 in the divisional series. Thank you.
That's fine. But when our teams faced off, my team won.
Congrats.
Well, I mean, that means something. You'd say it.
If it meant something, it would, right? Like, it didn't mean anything for either of our teams. But it meant something for you, and I'm happy for you.
I think Cleveland put a team out there that looked like they tried.
Nah, maybe.
So they don't try.
I don't know why they would have.
St. Louis.
I don't know why they would have.
Especially when they lose, they didn't really put an effort in that.
All right, we'll be back here in some form or another tomorrow on a Friday. Thanks for listening, everyone, as we continue to adapt to this new world, the 5 to 7 world, here with the Bob and Jeff Show. Have a good night.